be alive. Woo! Listen, this 2024 offseason for the Philadelphia Eagles has been an anticipated one. It's been a big one for us in Philadelphia. You start with the collapse from last season, and you look at the roster and you said, changes got to be made, coaching staff changes got to be made, and we need to revamp the roster in order to compete this upcoming season. And you look at what Howie Roseman has done, what this organization has done since the end of our season last year. We brought in athletes. We got younger on the defensive side of the ball. We added veteran players on the offensive side. Big play threats in Saquon Barkley. We re-signed A.J. Brown, Landon Dickerson, Devontae Smith. So their contract situation settled. We unfortunately lose Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelsey to retirement. But due to the drafting and due to the development of our young offensive linemen and some of the defensive linemen, we feel we are in an okay position to kind of move forward and move on, for lack of a better phrase, as that's really the only thing we can do when a veteran leaves. Then we get to the draft after free agency hits. You get Bryce Huff. You get these players on the defensive side of the ball with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. You get Isaiah Rogers back from, reinstatement. Devin White is signed. Zach Bond. All these guys get signed on the defensive side of the ball here. And we go into the draft thinking, what are the things that we need to address to help this defense be revitalized again? We felt that we needed to go into this draft and get immediate players to make immediate impact on this upcoming season. Now, for me, my expectation was to come into the draft, and if we were able to get 2 to 3 key players to contribute to the defensive side of the ball, it would be a massive success for Howie Roseman and this organization. And quite frankly, he did exactly that. Maybe even more so. He gets 2 defensive backs who are going to make immediate impact for us in Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. He gets Jeremiah Trotter in the 5th round, who could be a quality player for us, especially for a 5th round value. And then he takes a chance on a 3rd round pick in Jalen Hunt, this outside linebacker kid. And we're going to get into all the other draft picks and kind of give, a pulse of what I feel about this team. And I'm sure maybe you guys like some of these picks more than others. And maybe some of you guys really don't like any of the picks at all. I doubt it. But everyone is entitled to their opinion. I would love to hear more about it. But before we get into all that and talk about what we feel this draft means to us and how Howie Roseman did, my name is Asif Badi, and this is the Riding the Bench Eagles podcast, where we talk about nothing but the birds in the midnight green. Okay, so let's talk about it. The NFL draft, round 1 for Philadelphia Eagles. We get the number 1 cornerback on the board in Quinyon Mitchell. Now, silly me, I made an episode prior to the draft thinking that, hey, Isaiah Rogers, Darius Slay, Kelee Ringo, and Eli Ricks, hell, if the fact that he was reinstated before the draft, I'm like, maybe Philadelphia decides, hey, you know what? We don't need to take cornerback in round 1 and we can go in a different direction. Lord be all, I was so damn wrong about that projection. And quite frankly, I don't care that I was wrong. I'm glad that I was wrong. Hell, if I'm wrong all the time and it results into things like this, I'll try to be wrong more often. Let that be a prayer. Let that be answered, you, whoever is up there, right? Quinyon Mitchell, number 1 cornerback from Toledo, fell to us at 22. And I thought that night, we won the first round once again. Getting a guy like Quinyon Mitchell, who everyone believes is a hit, Everyone believes he's a quality player. Everyone believes he's an immediate starter in this draft. People had him as like a top five, one of the better players in this draft, a top seven player in their draft boards, right? We didn't have to move an inch to get him to fall in our laps at 22. The surge of offensive players in the first round led that to happen. And Howie Roseman, patient enough, didn't do the silly thing and try to get aggressive and, you know, trade up. He literally let the draft come to him, was able to get the best cornerback on the board. And now we have an immediate starter as a rookie for what was a porous pass defense last season. So that is an incredible job by Howie Roseman. Then you go into the second round where you're like, okay, we have 2 second round picks here at 50 and 53. You know, maybe we can use those picks to solidify the defense. Howie Roseman decides, hey, you know what? I'm going to trade those assets, move up into the second round, go to pick 40 and get Cooper DeJean, who somehow is still on the board. And again, while I'm not super, I wasn't excited for him as our first round cornerback. I felt like, hey, if you can get Quinyon Mitchell or Nate Wiggins or something like that, you go get him. But the fact you got Quinyon Mitchell and now you couple it with a Cooper DeJean, those two together make the first two picks of Philadelphia's draft immediately super impactful. Because now you have your true outside corner in Quinyon Mitchell with Darius Slay. You now have Cooper DeJean, the safety cornerback hybrid, kind of like a Malcolm Jenkins in terms of the versatility and where you could place him on the field, where you could put him all over the football field and he can make plays for you. And the fact that he is an elite athlete and you got Vic Fangio running this defense, all of a sudden the hybrid nature of Cooper DeJean gets elevated just a bit more, in my opinion, coupled with the pass rush that we have in the front seven and the athleticism that we have here. It's an incredible, incredible first two picks that we know are immediately going to change the complexion of this defense. So kudos again to Howie Roseman for nailing those two picks. And that alone, to me, gives Howie Roseman a stellar job at nailing the draft, because I think he nailed the draft. I said before we would talk about this, but Jalen's Hunt in the third round is a little bit of a chance. Now, again, I mentioned that we have Vic Fangio and we have this veteran coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball. So taking a guy like Hunt in the third round, a chance player that a lot of people believe is a freak athlete and, you know, just needs to be polished up and can be a quality player for you. Again, if the coaching staff we have is effective enough, this guy can really make a difference for us in the front seven as a depth piece, as a rotational piece down the road for us in Philadelphia. I am all for drafting raw, super athletic prospects if you have elite coaching to go along with it. And Vic Fangio wasn't necessarily the greatest head coach, but I know for damn sure, at worst, is a really good, competent defensive coordinator. And the coaching staff that he employs underneath him, the positional coaches, are going to coach this kid up, and you could have a quality player on your hands in the third round. So taking a chance on a kid like this from, what is it, Houston Christian, whatever the school name is, it's worth it. I'm not going to be upset with a third round chance on a kid and a player like this on a position that we always cycle through anyway in terms of getting rotational pieces anyway. Right? So it's not a bad pick there. Let's continue on to the fourth round and Will Shipley, the Clemson running back. Again, he's not projected to start for us. He's projected to be just the player that we have on our depth chart with Kenny Gainwell, Saquon Barkley, and whatever other running back that we decide to keep on the roster here, because Boston Scott's gone. Rashad Penny gone. So now all of a sudden you needed the spot. You got Will Shipley, who was the running back at Clemson. Like I said, a big football program, knows big games, played against pretty good competition, right? So you know he can handle the workload if he needs to take a few carries per game. A savvy player. Again, nothing super, super special, which again, you're not expecting anything like that in the fourth, fifth, sixth round type of, you know, projection, right? So a good solid piece for us in the fourth round, a depth piece at running back. I like the move. I like the pick at fourth. Okay. Here's an interesting one, though. In the fifth round at 152, because this is where the draft gets a little bit interesting for us, Anais Smith, again, I hope I'm saying this guy's name right, the wide receiver from Texas A&M, he's 5'9", a buck 90. He's not necessarily going to be projected to play on the outside, but as a true slot receiver, I am all for savvy, you know, dependable and quality slot receivers. Anais Smith can be just that. At Texas A&M, he was a versatile player in terms of being able to not only return kicks, return punts, he was a reliable third down slot receiver. He's a savvy veteran, can make short plays into decent chunks, okay? So the comparison that was given to him coming out was a Christian Kirk. And if you get any sort of comparison to Christian Kirk as a wide receiver, you're doing something right and you're doing a pretty damn good job. And if that's the comp, I love it. Again, some of the reports said that he's the type of guy that can take a 5-yard hitch route, turn it to 8 or 10 to keep moving the chains for you, to keep the offense in rhythm, keep it humming. He's savvy. He knows defenses, right? I like that in a slot receiver. I don't need them to be Cooper Kupp or to be super, super special in the slot. They just need to be competent. They need to be reliable, like Jason Avant was for all those years. Hell, a guy that I like, who I think gets underrated, is Greg Ward, who was with us for a couple of years, who still is with us in Philadelphia, but a guy that doesn't get a lot of playing time anymore. But receivers like that, Jason Avant, Greg Ward, other players like that, I think if we can get them to just be chain movers for us, and again, Anais Smith, if he's with us, he could be a reliable piece for us in a few games, in a couple of games, whenever we need him, if we're in a pinch. I like the pick as a fifth round draft prospect. And again, Howie Roseman doesn't necessarily always nail wide receiver, but getting a pick like this, I think this guy's going to be a competent pro. I like the projection here. And then here's the big one in the fifth round that a lot of, I'm a little mixed on. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., at 155, the linebacker from Clemson. Now, Harry Roseman addressed linebacker, which is good. So now we have Devin White, we have Zach Bond, we have N'Kobe Dean, and Jeremiah Trotter here. And I'm sure I'm forgetting another player. Please forgive me. But those are really the main four guys that, if are going to play, those are the guys that you're going to be seeing on the football field, right? So we know Devin White's starting. N'Kobe Dean, we hope, can be healthy and can cover. But Jeremiah Trotter is a nice insurance policy for a guy like N'Kobe Dean, for example. Again, I thought he was a little small coming out of college. But his game tape is pretty damn good. Again, considering we got him in the fifth round, I'm not expecting something to be super, super magical when he comes on the field, but a fifth-round linebacker who could potentially start for you in a couple of games and give you quality play, Jeremiah Trotter is certainly capable of that. And the fact that his father was the last true linebacker that we had that was a staple for us in our defense, hopefully the cycle continues here with Junior, and that he could come in, be a solid player for us in the middle, because that's the one thing that we just need solid play at linebacker. We don't need anything special. I just want competency at linebacker. We haven't had that in a few years. We haven't had that since, honestly, TJ Edwards, our Super Bowl year, but he was kind of the outlier in terms of linebacker play, right? Jeremiah Trotter Jr. can play sideline to sideline. He has really good instincts. Again, his father was a linebacker in the NFL, so you know his father is going to help in terms of being prepared week by week, knowing how the pro game is played, how to go about your season to make sure that you're ready for optimal play, how to prepare for defenses, how to study. I'm sure his father is going to help him with all that. So in that sense, you could have gotten a steal in the fifth round here. But as I said, he does come off a little smallish in terms of his size, but we all love the pick in the fifth round with Jeremiah Trotter Jr. because we feel like he's going to get playing time and he's going to make the most of the playing time if he gets on the field. So I'm happy with that pick too. Again, Harry Roseman's done a good job addressing depth, addressing needs. So far, so good in this draft. And again, the fifth round pick, the guard that we got from Michigan, Trevor Keegan, is also no exception to that rule. Started 36 games at Michigan, is a team captain on Michigan's football team, was a national champion. Am I thinking he's going to come in and start for us immediately? Hell no. But you know what? He's a quality player, a quality depth piece. And when you're coached under Jeff Stoutland and you come from a coaching program like Jim Harbaugh, who's hard-nosed and tough as hell, I like the pick in the fifth round. Get some, you know, pedigree in terms of the rookie class later in the draft, being a rotational piece. And again, playing at Michigan, you know big-time football. That's one thing about Harry Roseman, that's sort of the pivot that he's done over the past few years, as we all know. The pivot from not taking super, super high chances on, you know, these abstract, obscure players from these small-town colleges or small-time colleges, going after the big schools, knowing the coaches that are there. You could take a shot at a kid like this, like Trevor Keegan, and he could become a solid pro for us, a solid depth piece, especially under Stoutland University. I like the pick here. And then lastly, our sixth-round draft picks. Now, again, am I expecting special things from these sixth-round draft picks? No. I didn't put a lot of time in studying Johnny Wilson from Florida State, nor did I put a lot of time in studying Dylan McMahon, the guard-center combo from NC State. What I read about Johnny Wilson was that he plays small, which, again, just seemed a little disappointing. For someone who's 6'6", 230, and you play small, it just tells me you're soft as hell. And the last thing that I want to see is a soft wide receiver in football, let alone in Philadelphia. And we saw that with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. That guy was one of the worst football players I've ever seen in my life. I hope Johnny Wilson doesn't go down that path, and I hope he could be somewhat productive in terms of being a practice squad player, being a guy that can give good looks for the defensive backs and, you know, on the Philadelphia Eagles. But if he plays to his size and we can find a way to, you know, get him to play up the snuff, what a weapon he could be in terms of just his physical attributes. Because physically, you can look at him and be like, I like what I see. But if you're playing small, you don't got the mindset to be a tough-ass wide receiver. And that's something that you would want. That's at least something that I would want. And again, Dylan McMahon, the guard-center combo. Again, just a depth piece, a rotational piece. I'm not expecting much out of a sixth-round pick in terms of this draft here. So really, you look at what we did, and the guys who are going to make an impact for us, three or four of them are on the defensive side of the ball. In Quinyon Mitchell, the best cornerback in the draft. Cooper DeJean, who is one of the more intriguing prospects in terms of versatility and being able to just be a chess piece all over the field. And then lastly, Jeremiah Trotter, who helps address a need in Philadelphia and maybe, just maybe, can light a fire under N'Kobe Dean's ass, hopefully to either get healthy or just play better during the season. And if Devin White leaves after this year, maybe you insert Jeremiah Trotter. Have a young core, have a young front seven, a young defense, kind of like Kansas City's defense in terms of how they build it through the draft and they developed, and under the right guidance, under the right coaching, they get better and better each year. And all of a sudden, you just saw this past season, Kansas City's defense was basically the best in the NFL. Does Philadelphia project to be that? I don't know, because we were one of the worst defenses last year, if not the worst defense last season. But again, Howie Roseman came into this draft, came into this offseason and said, I got to revamp the roster. And in this draft, I have to get players who are going to make immediate impact. Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, and Jeremiah Trotter are really, really good answers to come out of an NFL draft with in terms of being able to address the defensive side of the ball. So if I had to give a grade to Howie Roseman in terms of this draft, I'm giving him nothing short of an A-. I think that's a pretty damn good grade. Took a chance on Jalen's Hunts here at in the third round. But you know what? You got 2 to 3 players here that are going to make immediate impact for you. And if I came out of a draft of 2 to 3 starters who I know are going to be able to play for a good long time, I'm happy with it. I think it's a successful draft. And Howie Roseman, his ass was put on the line. His ass was in the fire. And he came out and said, read him and weep. He put up or shut up. And he put up, basically. That's what he did this offseason. So kudos to him. Kudos to Philadelphia on this draft. I thought they nailed it. I really, really did. I thought they got their picks right for the most part. I like the way they were going about the process. Here's the thought process in terms of jumping up in the draft, holding their picks, just letting the draft come to them. I think this is as good of a work. I think this is as good of work as Howie Roseman has done in a draft that I can remember. Wasn't too aggressive. He was aggressive when he needed to be. He was patient when he had to be. Addressed needs. Took chances. Proper chances, might add, on some players. That's good work. That's good GMing right there. That puts you in the realm of Brett Veach's and other guys like that. Again, I think Howie Roseman is the second best GM in football outside of Brett Veach. And this draft shows you just that. Now the question is, can this team, can these players live up to the hype now? Because Howie Roseman's done his job. He nailed free agency, and he nailed the NFL draft. He's got the talent here. Now the coaches have to come in, step up, and make these guys play the type of football we believe they can play. And if they do that, Philadelphia's cooking with fire here. Because the NFC, it's not a super juggernaut, guys. It's not. The NFC East is up for grabs. And the top seed in the NFC is up for grabs. Philadelphia is in position with the schedule, now with the talent, and with the youth and athleticism addressed in the draft and in free agency. It's now time for this team to put up or shut up. So Philadelphia, what you gonna do? Hey, you got through a full episode of the Riding the Bench Eagles podcast. Thank you for watching. If you want to support the channel, hit the like and subscribe button below. You can also check us out on Instagram at the Riding the Bench Podcast with a K instead of C in the word podcast. And also check us out on audio platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it, we're on there. All that is in the description below. Please come back next time for the Riding the Bench Eagles podcast. Thanks for listening.